You know, when you're the one holding the flashlight, it can appear you've got all the answers, or at least you know the way. But really, all you're doing is shining a light for yourself. You still might trip and fall along the way. In fact, you probably will. You're going to get off course, even though you're the one holding the flashlight. I like the expression that a rocket fails its way to the moon because it's 99% of the time off course, constantly course correcting. And I think you're the same way. You stumble as you go, make course corrections, and keep going. Because I do this show on top of the world, and also the Backyard Millionaire, and then have the Millionaire Minutes and On Top of the World in a Minute, it might appear that I've got some stuff figured out. But the truth is, I'm simply holding a flashlight as I grope my way along. Now, because I've read nearly 1,000 books on development, self-development, money, investment, real estate, I actually have an incredible resource, a super resource to draw upon. My flashlight, however, is powered almost exclusively by standing on the shoulders of giants and those that have come before, looking toward an unknown future and saying, hey, look what I see over here. You might like this. This might help you. Every day I attempt personally to do better in my own life. It's a race with who I want to be and no one else. Nobody else is on the track with me. It's my own race with who I want to be. And yet, even though I'm the only one out there, I still fall short. Now, every day I attempt to do better, to be better in a race with, again, who I want to be. But there's some times that I will cringe when I think about something I said, the way I handle the situation. And maybe it's perhaps, and definitely, probably not perhaps, but definitely, this kind of self-awareness that you can use to improve yourself. It works for me. I'm pointing the flashlight right over there and saying, hey, self-awareness will help you like it helps me. And you might even be 20 times more self-aware than I am. But it's true. I just over the weekend had an instance where I handled the situation and later went, you know, who I wanted, that's not really how I want to handle my business. And it wasn't business, it was a personal thing. But it's like, this is not how I want to handle it. And I learned from it, and went back and course corrected. So, absent self-awareness, you might be going in the exact opposite direction that you want to go, away from your goal, away from where you're aiming. You have a flashlight. And if you feel like you don't, you might want to check your batteries. You might want to check and figure out how to turn on the flashlight because you do. You've got it. You have the ability to shine the light on the truth for you, and others will follow. Others will see the light, hear the light, notice the light, and follow you. When you hear someone say something like, wow, that really inspired me, you realize that you've aimed your flashlight in a direction you want to go as well. So maybe the message is grab your light, go your own way, and never forget that you were born not just on purpose, but you were born with a purpose, and you deserve to live on top of the world.
You are my friend.
Yes, it is. What show? What show are you talking about? I'm talking about On Top of the World Radio. I'm Chris Story, and here's your national anthem. Welcome to the top of the world. That's the way to start a world-class radio program like On Top of the World. If you've missed a minute of this program ever in your life, you can go to my website, ilovehomeralaska.com. Not the entire catalog, but over 750 episodes are there for you at ilovehomeralaska.com. We're brought to you in part by Horizon Wireless. I sound pretty excited about that. In part by Horizon. I am excited. Horizon Wireless is an incredible company. Leif and Cassandra have been working on this company for over a dozen years. And we here at On Top of the World, Backyard Millionaire Radio, and Story Productions, Story Real Estate, and Story HQ, my home, we've converted everything to Horizon Wireless because it's reliable. The connectivity is fast, again, dependable and reliable. And when there's a glitch, as technology is off to do or can do, they're on top of it in a millisecond. The service behind the scenes is excellent. Par excellence, unparalleled at Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. That's 226-3130. You're not alone. With your Millionaire Minute, I'm Chris Story. In 2020, you were told to isolate for the greater good. Now we know isolation did the greater harm. Mental and physical health suffered and declined. Wealth was transferred by the truckload from the public treasury. Isolating people from people is all about control and manipulation. You're not alone. You're here on purpose with a purpose. Together, we can weather any storm. Apart and alone is a recipe for disaster. You're not alone. From ilovehomeralaska.com, I'm Chris Story. AC/DC Electrical, batteries, solar, home security, and more. AC/DC is your electrical one-stop store. AC/DC Electrical at 435-0517. I'm excited about today's show. I was having a conversation with a guy yesterday, and I said, well, did you ever hear my interview with Robert G. Allen? He's a famous author, real estate investor. And he said, no, I haven't heard it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to correct that right now. And I'm going to replay that because I started listening to it again myself. And I said, this is worthy. Robert G. Allen, I have to say, he's got, yes, he's got a number of reputations, but I don't believe what I read in the press about people. I go meet the people, make my own decision. So there are times that Robert G. Allen's been accused of, you know, huckstering of different things. But if you read his work and you read his ideas and apply them to your life, you can't help but win. You can't help but see the results. And when you see the results, you go, wait a minute, there's something to this guy. There really is. And so when it comes to real estate advice, I listen to Robert G. Allen, and I hope you'll stick around and listen again. Even if you already heard this episode on a previous show, it was actually on a previous Backyard Millionaire. So we're doing a cross, we're going to do a, what do you call that? Like a shows crossover. Remember when the kids from Facts of Life would be on Different Strokes or vice versa? Remember? That's what's happening here today. We're going to play just a small piece of an interview with a guy called Robert G. Allen. It might make all the difference in your life. It really could. So stick around for that. Plus, we're going to laugh out loud at lawyers, and it's okay. You can laugh along with me, even if you have a lawyer in your family. Plus, we're going to talk about doubting your doubts, times like these, and the word when we return here to the top of the world. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story. It's time now to dip back into a little bit of history. Earlier this year, on our sister show, The Backyard Millionaire, I had a conversation with Robert G. Allen, author of The Instant Millionaire, Creating Wealth, No Money Down, Multiple Streams of Income, and more books that I can probably count here. And I basically just started the tape and let him talk.
My message is usually multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. I'm reaching out to people who are entrepreneurial-minded. Employee-minded people usually don't like to take those kinds of risks. If you're teaching people about how to buy four homes, I think that's just fabulous, because it's amazing that people haven't awoken to that principle. Like, they'll buy one house, they'll save up and, you know, get the credit right and borrow money from their parents or whatever to get into that first home. And then the home increases in value, usually sometimes doubles in value while they're living in it. And they don't wake up to the fact that if they had two of those or three or four, that really that would take them to financial freedom. And so in my book, Creating Wealth, I say the plan is buy two homes per year for 10 years, and that will set you up for life. You have streams of income. Eventually, those homes will be paid off. Just imagine, you know, 10 years from now, and you have 20 houses that are, you know, getting close to paid off. Say 20 years from now, they're all paid off. Got 20 houses times, say, $2,000 a month, which would be minimum, really, $2,000 a month from each of those homes. We're talking, you know, $40,000 a month, you know. So that's serious money.
It is.
So most people, they don't expand beyond their normal narrow mindset. And usually when people get to the end of their life and they retire, if they've stayed in that same home, the home is paid off, and that's probably the biggest asset they've got in their life. Well, it'd just be nice if there was 10 of them or 20 of them instead of just one, you know? So entrepreneurs, you know, that's what, maybe 1 in 7 of all the people you ever see. About 1 in 7 is an actual entrepreneur. They got a business, they're molesting something, or an investor, they're full-time, you know, being their own boss. That's about 1 in 7 people you see. 6 in 7 are employee minded. Therefore, they work for somebody else. They want to make small, slow money, and they retire in 40 years and then they don't have anything, you know. And yet they could have been millionaires, really, if they'd just taken a little bit of money every day, every month, put $30 away, $50, $100 away, put it into an S&P 500 index fund or EFT, and just forget it. $100 a month over your lifetime will make you a millionaire. It might make you a multimillionaire on $100 a month. It's crazy. It's just amazing. And anyone can do that, because everyone in our country, every single person is a lifetime millionaire. $1 million goes through your fingers in a lifetime. You earn, you know, $25,000 a year for 40 years. That's $1 million. So the problem is most people will spend it all, and they'll go into debt, frankly, and they won't have anything left over, and they retire, and there's nothing but Social Security. And that's just not smart. Whereas entrepreneurs, these are the 1 in 7, they want to make big, fast money. So they'll buy things like real estate. They'll start a business. They'll have a side hustle. They are in the process of making faster, bigger money than ordinary employees are. So you and me, we're trying to tell every one of our audiences, I'm trying to say buy 2 houses a year for 10 years. That's 20 houses. You're telling them to buy 4 houses total. And if you could just teach 2,000 people how to do that, those 2,000 people would end up having a much better life than they normally would. So congratulations, Chris, for doing what you do.
Well, thank you. That means, and I have to thank you, because you're not just Robert G. Allen, you're the OG of what we're talking about. In fact, 20 years ago, I found your book, Creating Wealth, followed your advice, and my wife and I started buying 2 homes a year. And then we started converting that into selling and transferring into commercial and multifamily, and it's worked out incredibly well. But that was 20 years ago, Robert. Can people still do it today?
The answer is yes, because there are people who have ordinary problems that find themselves under circumstances where they need to sell, and they become highly motivated. So when the market is hot, you know, a lot of these people who have divorces and challenges, health, death, sickness, inheritance, all the reasons why people need to sell real estate. Obviously, if they're behind in their payments, you know, when a market is soft and slow, then usually they end up losing their property. And then people who are investors like ourselves, we can buy those properties. But the market is fast, hot, which, you know, COVID kind of created that, because there was so much demand with all this extra money floating around. Well, that money's dried up now, and the interest rates have gone up, and therefore market's softening, slowing. It's still pretty hot in most parts of the country, but as the market slows, and as we have head into the quote-unquote this recession, if it ever happens, then there's just going to be more opportunity, because these ordinary problems happen to millions of people every single day. Death, sickness, divorce, transfer. There's, you know, 20, 30 reasons why people need to sell. And the problem with real estate, it's not like the stock market. If I want to sell my stock today, the money will be in my bank account this afternoon. But if I want to sell my real estate today, I have to figure out how to sell it. I got to either put a sign on it myself as a for sale by owner, or I got to go find a realtor. And that takes time to find the realtor. And then they've got to put it on the multiple listing service. And sometimes it sells quickly. You know, sometimes it sells in a week or two or three. Sometimes it sells a month or two or three. Sometimes it's 6 months, a year, you know, depending upon where it's located and what its price is. So because real estate is illiquid, that's its greatest benefit and its worst nightmare, because it's illiquid. That's the greatest thing for us as investors, and the worst thing if you're trying to sell. You want liquidity. You want to get your money fast, and you want to get the full price. If I'm going to sell my stock today, I will pay. I can sell it for exactly today what anyone in the world would buy it for. I will sell it at retail today, my stock. But when it comes to real estate, I can't sell it at retail. Usually there's some negotiation that happens. Sometimes if the market's really hot, yes, people will actually bid the price up above retail. But generally speaking, you know, you put it on the price at retail, you're going to sell it at retail or a little bit less. And then because it's illiquid, you know, you're stuck until you, and then it's going to take a month for the person to qualify for a loan. And what if they can't qualify, and then they give it back to you, and you got another month before you can sell it again. And see, it's illiquid. So during that illiquid period is when we as investors are looking for highly motivated sellers. And they're not all highly motivated. You know, when you go to the multiple listing service, say Anchorage, Alaska, let's just pick that for example. Let's say there are 5,000 properties available for sale today on the market, current at retail price. I don't know if there's 5,000. It could be 50,000. It could be 3,000. I don't know. But let's just pick 5,000 as an example. That means if there's 5,000 properties available for sale, only maybe 95% of them are retail. They want their full price. They want to wait. They want to wait it out. You know, they're willing to wait the illiquid time. But there's 5% of them that are desperate to sell right now. They want it desperately. And that's who we look for. And we look for those people for a lot of reasons. A lot of people think, well, I don't want to deal with people's desperation. I don't want to take advantage of people. Well, if that's stopping you, then start looking right now for that 5%. Because when you find them and talk to them, you'll find out that you are an answer to their prayer. It's not just the opposite, where you think you're taking advantage of them and that God will be unhappy with you because you beat them down in their price. They are begging for a solution. And a lot of times they will take your offer. They will take a wholesale price, a price much lower than the ordinary market will bear because they need it. Or they'll be willing to give you wholesale terms. That means, yeah, okay, don't give me all the cash that I really want. I don't need the cash. I already bought another house. So all I really need is someone to take this mortgage off my shoulders. So I will carry financing. You know, you can make me, you know, interest monthly payments over the next 10 years. That would be wonderful for me because now I don't have to worry about this mortgage that's killing me every month. And therefore, what you're really doing is solving somebody's problem instead of taking advantage of somebody. So you look for people for whom you are the solution to their problem, and they are rare. I'm not saying it's one, you know, it's one in 20. It's not one in five. It's one in 20. They are rare. But you look, you search, you find, you buy two like that a year. You do that every year for the next 10 years. You'll be a multimillionaire in your lifetime. You'll be a multimillionaire. You'll have to overcome the problems of finding them. It's hard to look and keep looking and have persistence. And it's also hard to manage them. There are all kinds of problems that'll crop up. You know, the tenant, you chose the wrong tenant. You know, they're behind in their rent. And it'll just drive you absolutely nuts, really, until you find a system that for managing people, maybe you're giving them a lease option. So now they become more of an owner instead of a renter. There's all kinds of solutions to solve the bad tenant problem. But most people, they have all these fears about real estate because they have a friend of theirs who, you know, got, you know, their property got beat up, and they have all these fears that stop them from getting started in the investment game. And what I'm trying to say is you should search and look for in the real estate market somebody who has a problem that you can solve in an enlightened way. That means you're helping, not hurting. You're helping them buy that property and learn the systems for managing that property. There are many of them. I'm not the only person. There are hundreds of books you can buy online about how to manage properly, where you can rent them out, where they're, it's passive to you. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to actively manage a property. You can set it up so that they just send you a check, and that's all you ever see. And it's not easy to do, but eventually you figure it out, and then you've got this extra little stream of income. At first, it's, you know, maybe it's break-even cash flow. You don't get a lot of cash flow, and then next year you raise your rents, and then it's a couple, $300, $400, $500 a month, you know, and then 5 years from now, it's $2,000 a month. That's an extra stream of income flowing into your life, and 10 years now, it's $10,000 a month. Now we're talking financial freedom stuff, you know. Now you get to decide: do I want my job? Do I want that $10,000 I'm making from this job that I really don't like, or do I want to just not have a job and just get the $10,000 in positive cash flow and then go buy some more real estate? Figure out a way to get into commercial property like you did, Chris. And so as you get into the real estate game, into the entrepreneurial side of it, you know, there's so many opportunities, and that's what you teach people, you know, right in your beautiful state of Alaska. It's, you know, it's incredible. So yes, the game is not over, because people, as they say, they are always creating like tricycle motors, a tricycle motor. That's a little baby. That's a little kid. And they're always creating new tricycle motors. So they always need new housing. And so there are always people that are going to be buying houses and people that need to sell houses. It's a lifetime. It'll happen. Real estate will happen for the rest of your life. But get in the game.
You're talking about solving people's problems. The most recent Robert G. Allen newsletter I got says the key to success lies in giving, not taking. And I think that really is a great summation to what you were saying, that finding somebody who has a problem and you are the solution feels great. A couple of years ago, we were able to purchase a home that was pre-foreclosure, and this couple was going through a pretty hard time. We helped them avoid a 7-year credit challenge. For 7 years, that foreclosure would have challenged them, and they walked away with a couple $1,000 in their pocket. We got a great deal, but we actually were the solution to a huge problem. So I love that.
Absolutely. I call it enlightened wealth. Mm-hmm. And many people, when they think of entrepreneurs, they think the opposite. They think in order to be an owner of a business, to be successful, to be wealthy, that somehow or other they've done something illegal, immoral, or unethical. That, you know, usually employees look at people like us as bosses, you know, we're their bosses. They don't like their bosses, and therefore they usually don't like people with money. They think somehow or other they've done something endarkened to get it. But in my experience, when I talk to my millionaire friends, these people are good. They're honest. They're ethical. They're hardworking. They're spiritually oriented. They're givers. They have charities and causes and churches and philanthropies that they fund with the extra money that they've been able to earn. So I look at people to change the thinking about money and earning it. I have people who say, I don't like money. I don't want people to see me as a money person. I don't like to sell. I don't like to be rejected. You know, I don't like to do all that stuff. Therefore, I don't like money. And therefore, they're happy surviving on the little that they make for a long period of time. They support their families. They're good people. Also, I'm not saying poorer people are bad people, but I'm trying to say I'd like them to open their mind to the possibility that if they did a few extra little things, you know, like buying a couple of properties a year, that's not a big deal. That's not. They do that, and eventually they start having extra surplus money, not only for their own family, for better schooling, for better travel, better trips, better memories for their family, but they also have extra that they can spill over some of that extra to people around them who need it more than they do. And therefore, you create wealth not because you want to be rich. You create it because you want to be charitable and in giving. You want to give your way to wealth. There is a lie that I believe. The more that I got, the more I'd be free, 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 free. So I've been away making the green. See, the more that I get, the more that I need.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. That was a special excerpt from our show, The Backyard Millionaire. All 45 minutes of my conversation available with Robert G. Allen at ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast. Chris Story here. Doubt your doubts and we'll LOL at lawyers plus times like these when we return to the top of the world. So wipe off that window, see the bigger picture now. I don't want to be 85. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose, what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. She does. Don't spread misinformation, fake news. She calls this the greatest show on earth. I don't care what Michael Duke says, okay? On Top of the World Radio, my mother's favorite show. All right, let's have a little bit of fun. You know, there's a lot of heaviness in the world. It's very serious. There's a lot going on. But let's take just a brief segue. Let's just move over here into a little bit of a shallow pool and have a little bit of fun at our lawyer friend's expense. These are some great jokes I'd never heard. And I had to share them with you. I saw them this morning. Somebody forwarded them to me. And I'm like, how can I not share this with you? All right. Why don't lawyers go to the beach? Well, because the cats keep trying to cover them up in the sand. And I'll say right here, my brother-in-law is a wonderful, fabulous attorney in Austin, Texas. So I have, I think, carte blanche to make these jokes. I'm of the community, if you will. What's the difference between a lawyer and a herd of buffalo? Well, the lawyer charges more. That's good. A little preemptive on the rim shot. We'll slow that down. How can you tell if a lawyer is lying? I know what you're thinking. You were about to say because his lips are moving. No, no. It's because other lawyers look interested. That's a good one. What's the difference between a lawyer and a vulture? Well, lawyers accumulate frequent flyer miles.
I'm not a smart man.
No. Clearly. Oh, we love our lawyers. Come on now. Price Pritchett is a bit of a genius. Speaking of Austin, Texas, that's where he actually hails from, Dallas, Fort Worth. But I think that there's a certain accent in Texas, a certain Austin, Dallas accent that I really enjoy. Price Pritchett has that same set accent. More than that, I admire his thinking. And he says, if you have to doubt something, doubt your doubts. In other words, if you're going to be a doubting Thomas, assume that the doubts are false, the doubts don't exist, and you're going to assume you can accomplish something. Doubt the doubts that enter your mind. And that's more than just some farcical wordsmithing. That, if you think about it, it really makes sense. Like, I almost like leaning into something. For example, I'm a habit-driven person. If I do not instill a habit or a ritual, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't get done that I want to accomplish, or at least I say I want to accomplish. And that's why I say, too, be careful about what you say you want, because your mind will notice the difference between reality and expectation. And in that gully lives disappointment, lives unhappiness, lives insomnia. And so I'm incredibly careful about what I say I want to myself in the form of writing goals and things like that and ambitions. But I need, and I know this, and I've accepted it. It might be a weakness, but I don't care. I've just embraced it and said, you know what? I need to go to the extreme. with something. If I'm going to do something, I have to go all in. I have to have a ritual, a routine, something that I do not deviate from. I have to instill on myself a sense of obligation to accomplish something, to do whatever it is I say I want to do, to have something, to go somewhere, to be somebody that I want to be. So doubt that you can't. I love it. What a simple idea. If you have to doubt something, doubt you can't. Doubt your doubts. Some people use doubts pessimistically as sort of a self-preservation mode. Like, yeah, I knew it wouldn't work. Yeah, I knew it wasn't. I knew they'd say no. See? And it's a way to mentally save face and continue to live in your own blind spot. It's a dangerous place to live. You get crushed eventually. Not at first, but eventually. I think you were born to live. My first book, Born to Live, Finding Purpose on the Road to Hope, is probably the worst cover of my four books. I will say it is the worst cover I've ever come up with. It's just a planet, kind of a caricature of the planet. It says Born to Live, Chris Story. It's a terrible, terrible cover. My friend John David Mann, New York Times bestselling author, I sent him the manuscript. He agreed to read it. He did read it. He took it with him to Hawaii, read it on the beach in Hawaii, which just made my day. I thought, man, what a gift that he's giving me of his time and expertise. And he came back and he said, oh, beautiful subtitle for you, Chris, Finding Purpose on the Road to Hope. And I was like, oh, dagnabbit, I'd already approved everything with the publisher and it was already set to print. So, but I use it anyway as a subtitle, Finding Purpose on the Road to Hope. And that story that's in that little book, and it's a very short read. Many people tell me they read it in 45 minutes. You read it over a weekend, whatever. It's a very small little book. Was truly inspired by real life events. That book was my life. It actually was inspired by my life. And the inspiration for the story, because it's a fictional story inspired by real life, but really at the heart of the message in that little book is a single quote from Napoleon Hill. Probably, if I were to put something on my epitaph, you know, on my gravestone, I would probably have this. It would be something else, but still, this could work. With every adversity comes with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. And that is, look, if you have to doubt your doubts, if you have to doubt something, doubt your doubts, because when you're leaping, if you doubt you're going to land where you're aiming when you take a quantum leap, then you're not going to be focused on the landing spot and you're surely going to miss it. But if you focus on where it is you want to land, once you've leapt forward towards something and you focus on the end in mind, begin with the end in mind and the means will appear. I truly believe that. And if there's some adverse thing that happens along the way, your job is to stop and analyze and find the greater good, find the equivalent or greater benefit. That's after you jump, while you're in midair. If you wait around, like Zig Ziglar used to always say, if you wait till all the lights are green, you'd never leave your house. So you've got to leap now.
Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you laughing, when you laughing, yes, the sun shining through. But when you crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb. Our website is ilovehomeralaska.com. ilovehomeralaska.com. alaska.com. You can start your one-stop property search statewide there, or you can buy one of my books, The Backyard Millionaire, Born to Live, Making a Man, The Watchman, all available for you right there. You can also send me an email. I love to give away The Millionaire Maker. I love to give away the book too, but The Millionaire Maker is a PDF. It's about 30 pages. It's subtitled 6 Practical Steps to Your First 4 Homes. If you go to our website at ilovehomealaska.com, contact us, send me a message through there just saying you'd like The Millionaire Maker. I'll return the email with a copy for you, and you can have it, share it, you can do anything you want with it. It's yours, and they're practical steps, and you can use and apply these steps towards any aim you wish. It's essentially a map or a blueprint to accomplish, achieve, have anything. I'm aiming that at homes and real estate and your millionaire plan. So anyway, go to my website, ilovehomeralaska.com. When we return, I'm going to share with you the best thing you can do in the world for the world and your TBC Radio Word. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. So what is the best thing you can do for the world? Well, Wallace D. Wattles said, and he said this, by the way, in 1910, and I think it's held up, I think it's still true, the best thing you can do in the world for the world is to make the most of yourself. You cannot on your own fix the world, the economy. You cannot on your own stop war, famine, hardship, death. You can't. You can take on the burden as though you could and crush your own spirit daily, but you can't fix it on your own. But here's what you can do all on your own, and that is make the most of your life. You can grow yourself where you are with what you've got. And as you do this, as you grow where you are in place, opportunities will present themselves to you every single day. When you are growing beyond your capacity of where you are now, you're growing beyond it, inevitably, opportunities will present. It's science. In fact, it is the law, according to Ralph Waldo Emerson. He called it the law of compensation. You will discover capabilities as you grow where you are and you become all you can be right here, right now. As you discover these new capabilities you never knew you had, you'll grow even further. And pretty soon you'll be like the hermit crab that needs to change shells. Like you've outgrown this space. And that takes time, and don't be in a hurry to do it. Be available. Be open to it. If you're open to the growth that's available to you, you cannot help but grow. You realize, and we talk about this quite a bit, as we think about living on purpose, born on purpose, with a purpose, that no one in Congress is special. Not one member of Congress is special. Not one member of the Senate is special. Not one member of the presidential cabinet, not one of the candidates running is special. Or should I say more special than you? The best thing you could do for the planet, for your country, for your family, and truly for yourself, is to make the most of your life where you are with what you've got. Don't look at the world and say, ah, it's a mess, I'm going to throw my hands up. Don't look at the world and say, I'm going to stress my way to fixing this all on my own. I'm going to destroy my own health, my own relationships, because I'm going to be under constant stress, and I'm going to oppress myself because I think in so doing I can fix what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in, pick a place, Ukraine, what's happening in Chicago every weekend. You can't fix it alone, but you can become the best you can possibly be. It sounds cliche, but you can make the most of your own life where you are with what you've got. And if you do it, and you do it, and you do it, the world will be better. Mama told me when I was beside listen closely to what I say.
take your time. Don't live too fast. Troubles will come, yeah, and they will pay.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story. Time now for your TBC Radio Word. That's right. If you heard the word about TBC Radio, get the word out about your business right here in your own backyard by calling Josiah at TBC Radio, 907-803-9424. He is a simple man with one mission, and that's to get the word out about your business on the radio at tbcradio.com or call 803-9424, TBC Radio. All right, your word. And what's funny is Tiff and I were sitting in the library Saturday, Sunday morning. I don't remember which morning, but we're sitting in the library, and I'd been doing some reading, and it was at a point in time when I would, because I don't check email instantly in the morning. I usually will wait for a couple of hours because I want to run my day versus my day running me. And I finally checked email, and I got a message. The word, the daily word that I subscribe to, was a word that I had not associated with its actual meaning. In fact, I asked Tiffany, I said, what do you think this word means? I mean, like, just give me a sensibility. Is it a negative or positive word? And we both thought it would be negative. And I don't know why. When you think about it, it's a great word. The word today is blithesome. B-L-I-T-H-E-S-O-M-E. Blithesome. And when you think about, oh, blithely. He went blithely forward. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, but it's not an often used word. And in fact, blithesome means a person or of a person having a cheerful disposition filled with, marked by, or causing pleasure. Blithesome. You use it in a sentence, just randomly. Just going to randomly use it in a sentence as though, as though I'd never thought about the word before. Becky wondered why Kent was in such a blithesome mood. Then after lunch, when the yearly bonuses were announced, Becky understood. Blithesome. All right, go forward and use the word you just heard in a sentence today or tomorrow. Impress your friends routinely with the word presented by TBC Radio. Farm out, man. With your Millionaire Minute, I'm Chris Story. As the world turns, what will always be in demand? Housing and food. That's right, shelter and sustenance. Sustainable housing and small-town farming are in demand where you live, and they always will be. How can you make a fortune where you are? Find a need and then fill it. That's how. Food and shelter will always be in need. You can weather any financial storm by providing the solution to a timeless set of needs. You really can grow wealth where you are with what you've got. From ilovehomeralaska.com, I'm Chris Story. Millionaire Minute is brought to you by Ulmer's Drug and Hardware, your home for health, hardware, and everything else, helping you live your best life since 1977. From our family to yours, Ulmer's Drug and Hardware. Oh man, speaking of Ulmer's, my phone is essentially on its last leg. And I was a tech, what would you call it? I was at the bleeding edge of technology. So I was an early adopter. Early on, like when before there was a smartphone, I was having the newest flip phone, the newest, had the, what do you call those? I can see it right now in my mind. It was silver. Al Gore wore one in a holster. Anyways, like a little Palm Pilot. Had a Palm, the earliest Palm Pilot with Bluetooth capabilities, and then got into the HP smartphone and then an iPhone. I had to always have the latest. Now, not so much. This one is probably 8 years old that I'm rocking right here. The screen's all cracked up. My one finger that I use as a stylus is completely calloused over because of the little constant cuts that I'm getting from the screen. I don't care. It does everything I need it to do. And then something happened to the plug-in port on the bottom where you can charge it. And it won't work. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want to get a new phone. I really don't. So I went to Ulmer's Drug and Hardware, your home for health, hardware, and everything else. And they proved that slogan to be true. Everything else included this charger. It's a little flatbed charger, which, you've seen those before, where you can just lay the phone on top of it or the device, but it's any directional, one. Two, it also has other USB ports to to power other devices at the same time. In addition to the fact that this thing is solar powered, if I want it to be. It's a massive battery, but also I can flip it over in the sun and take it with me and go anywhere and have power for my phone and other capabilities. It's amazing. $49. Are you kidding me? Shop local. I know you could go online and get this, but shop local. Guess what? They support every community endeavor that's asked of them at Ulmer's Drug and Hardware. Guess what? They employ, what, 30 people? What do those people do in turn? Spend the money in this economy. They pay sales tax. They pay into our schools constantly through the store. I'm saying go to Ulmer's Drug and Hardware and get what it is you're looking for today. All right. Also, I was outside of a grocery store the other day, and there was somebody asking for people to sign a petition to increase the minimum wage. And we don't have time to tackle this today. So I'm not going to get too deep into this, but I am going to tackle minimum wage on Thursday. I'm gathering some thoughts. My first reaction was I was hoping she would ask me, and I walked by a couple times. She never did ask me to sign the petition, but I wanted to ask her a couple of questions. Then I realized, you know what? She's got a job to do. There's no amount of talking to that individual that's going to stop her from doing her job, which is trying to collect signatures. And I thought I could use this opportunity, this bully pulpit that you and I share here together, to share my thoughts on why raising the minimum wage is dangerous and is going to create a hardship for two people, the employers looking for employees and, that's right, the employees, the people that are looking for a leg up in this world. I'll say it like this very, very quickly. A government that can tell you the least you can make can also tell you the most you can make. Be careful, not just about that little line, because that's a fun line to repeat, but be careful that you don't wreck an already burdened economy. We're still attempting to recover and crawl out from underneath what we did to ourselves in 2021. In 22, relative to $6 trillion of printed borrowed debt, billions of printed borrowed dollars going to Ukraine. Who knows what else we're going to be spending here in this next go around? So we just have to be careful that we don't hurt our own local economies and our statewide economy by bringing more bad ideas to a larger scale, like increasing the minimum wage. So again, we'll go on in a little bit more detail on Thursday for the Backyard Millionaire. For David Webb and myself, I'm Chris Story, reminding you to look forward, learn from your past, but never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present. See you Thursday.